Hey, man, thanks for calling me back. Hey, I need to order two beef and broccoli with sweet tea. And
hold it. I'm sorry, you've got the wrong guy. Wait, this is Scott Connor.
Who is this?
This is Scott Connor.
Oh, that's what I thought, and that's why. if you've ever caught any of my other interviews, you know I'm never going to answer the phone the way I'm supposed to.
You hid the body. The bodies are gone.
I did. It's okay. Good. All right. Well, thanks. Well, I've marked that off my bucket list now. So, yep, I am glad Mr. Connor is appreciative of good humor. I'm glad to have him on the line here. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I'm doing really well. Weather good up your way?
It's beautiful. I'm right down actually looking at the Ohio-Kentucky River. I'm down here in southern Indiana. Just left Madison, and we're down here at the bottom of the state right now. It's beautiful.
Very, very cool. So I see you're a self-proclaimed family man. Tell me about your family, brother.
Well, I've got two daughters. One is in college, and one is actually in the back seat of my truck right now. We're having a fall day.
Cool.
It's fall break. So my daughter Taylor and my wife and I are just kind of cruising around southern Indiana today, just checking it all out. It's just a real pretty day.
So southern Indiana, where exactly around there do you call home?
We're just outside of Franklin, Indiana.
Okay, outside of Franklin. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So how long have you been playing music professionally?
I started, I think, while I was in college. I think I was probably around 22. I put out a single with a southern gospel outfit out of Nashville.
Nice.
Oddly enough, and that song charted in Nashville called Sunday in the South.
Okay.
And he liked the single, and he had his office get a hold of me, and he kind of helped me get started, you know, a little better stride than what I had going on.
Sure. So yeah. So as a singer / songwriter, how many songs have you penned?
My record promoter, Will McPherson, told me the other day that he had 93 songs of mine recorded. I didn't know I had that many. So, yeah, 93.
And then, obviously, is that how many you've, I would say, written, or somebody that has recorded something? Or you've probably written many.
No,
many
there's like
that.
A stack of 10,000 that, like, suck so bad no one can listen to
how
them.
Do you,
so,
even if they
yeah.
suck, how do you guys do that, man? I
don't know. It's easy.
You have a writer, you get Corporal Tunnel or something. I don't know.
No, you know, you just – I actually wrote a blog about that last night. I tried to put out a weekly blog, and I kind of go in spurts. Some weeks I may work on two or three pieces. Lately, I've just been working on music without any lyrics or real melody, just working on music and finger exercises. And, you know, one of the things – I mean, as writers, and not just me, but just about any writer that writes quite a bit, you can take your basic 3 or 4 chord structure and write something.
Right.
And sometimes you get lucky and you can produce it and get a good engineer and make something interesting out of it. But when you start getting a big stack of songs behind you, you start thinking, okay, how can we really improve upon this? And then my idea was to try to make the music itself as interesting as possible and then begin to pursue where that music seems to go towards. Is it a love song, or is it, you know, what is it? And you try to just give the song room to breathe.
So do you give yourself any particular genre label?
Man, I'll tell you, it's weird, at least in today's world. I've got traditional country songs like the Maybe She Lied. I think you guys are playing that down there. Is that correct?
We'll talk about that in a little bit, but you okay. know, I just came across Will and his
cool.
stuff sitting,
yeah,
I'm glad to play the Coming Home. This
okay,
is
cool.
what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Well, that's great. I kind of work with all different types of genres. I'm from Indiana, and I grew up, you know, someone asked me not too long ago, you know, who really impacted me. And of course, all these other country greats did. But, you know, right down the road from where I live, John Mellencamp was killing it.
Yeah.
On MTV when I was in high school.
Sure.
And that mattered to me because it made me think, well, he can do it, you know, maybe there's a chance for others, you know? And, so I really call my sound Midwestern rock.
What does a perfect day consist of for you?
I'm having a perfect day today. I'm with my wife and my daughter. We've been to a coffee shop. We're just kind of out looking around and driving through the country and blue sky and just perfect today.
Okay,
so now this is a perfect
day. Let's assume we're not sitting in the same car with them where they're listening. And what?
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I know you say the same thing because that sounds like a really good day to have.
It is. I'm sitting here smiling. I'm pretty happy.
Very good. Hey, so what's it like working with Tanya Tucker and Charlie Daniels and all those guys?
It's scary sometimes, you know. I don't work with them on a consistent basis, but when I recorded with Charlie, that was like somebody throwing me in a swimming pool. I just went from 0 to 60 really fast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The week that I worked with Tanya in Nashville, I was already working in that studio, and I think another engineer, no, it was a producer, had kind of come in to see what we were doing, and I was working on a full project at the time, the Change in Direction CD. He came in, and I think later that evening, maybe he and I were just sitting there listening to some tracks, and he's like, man, Tanya would really like this song. And I'm like, cool, give it to her and see what she thinks. And I didn't, you know, ever dream that she would be interested in working with me on the track.
Nice.
But we got the opportunity to work with her. It was a weird couple of weeks because that same time, and I don't remember exactly, but a week or two apart, I was also on the same album working with T. Graham Brown. And it was just, you know, that's hard on a guy's nerves after a while.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you know, these people are so good. But Tanya was all of these people are amazing. I mean, I'm blessed to work with some of the finest players and musicians, you know, on the planet. But Tanya, when she walked in there, she was extremely well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're listening in a studio with some of the best gear in the world. So you've got great headphones, great microphone, everything.
Right.
And her voice was truly unbelievable. Maybe She Lied. I don't think we ended up needing to do it more than, I think we ran through the song three times.
That's a good thing. You know, when we do our studio stuff, and we've been playing together for golly, you know, since the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
And we can, the drummer and I, we can go in there and do a one take, maybe two by accident, lay down bass and drum tracks. You know, it's because
yeah.
You know what the other person is going to do. You're well prepared. You're seasoned.
Yeah.
And it works out really good. You know, Charlie Daniels was just here in town this past weekend over at Green Hall.
Cool.
Doing a show there. And I can usually stand outside. I'm about, I don't know, 2 miles. I guess a mile straight shot, but winding 2 miles
uh-huh.
from Green Hall. And if the wind's blowing just right and it's cool enough, you can actually hear the words and everything they're singing from those stages.
Very nice.
And it's pretty cool.
Very nice.
So I'm a big Skynyrd fan. So tell me about this book, man.
Okay. The book came out two or three years ago. I had a friend of mine that I'd gone to school with that was sick with cancer. And he and I played ball together and stuff in school and just grew up, you know, together.
Mm-hmm.
And he had gotten sick, and he had just mentioned to me that if possible, he would like to go down and visit where Ronnie Van Zant and those guys grew up. Well, at my house when my kids were growing up, Monday nights was a place at night that we always went to the library every Monday and studied, even if we didn't have anything to study. So I took my girls, and while they're studying, I was over in the biography section looking for some books, you know, and see if I could find anything on Skynyrd, because I've decided I'm going to get him down there. I found Gene Odom in another biography
mm-hmm.
about Skynyrd, called him, and I said, look, man, I'll pay you whatever you need. I just want you to take my friend and, you know, show him some things.
Right.
Well, I went down there. Gene and I became buddies, and my friend Dave would get tired at night, so Gene and I would sit out by the pool at the hotel and talk, and we became friends, and I decided to write the book about Gene's life. I mean, he grew up with Ronnie and
right.
Gary and Alan and Bob Burns. They all played on the Little League together and lived on the same street. And, you know, Gene was on the plane when it went down.
Right.
He was their bodyguard. And, you know, it was crazy.
Do you remember what you were doing at the time that you either saw it on the news or heard the news when?
No, I don't. I know it's an oddity, but I grew up in a country music home. My mom and dad, like I said, are both from Kentucky, and I didn't start getting into rock until my freshman year in high school.
Okay.
And so, no, I don't remember a lot about that. I remember my older sister mentioning that. I do remember that, but I thought Lynyrd Skynyrd was a person, and it was actually, in truth, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
But, you know, oddly, and it has zero connection, but I'm also have been on the phone with her actually this morning. Carol Chase has been with Skynyrd for, I think, 23 years.
Okay.
And she and I record together and write together.
That's sweet.
And, yeah, she and I, we're going to be shooting a video down in Nashville, I think the first week of November, I believe. So, and we're recording that week as well.
That is cool. Very, very cool.
So, yeah, she's a honkette, of course. So
yeah, I was in a bedroom, one of my bedrooms at the house, and living at home, and had a small TV on, and it said news, breaking news, and there it showed it, and I was kind of like, oh, it was kind of like, it reminded me of when I was laying in the, had the radio going at night when I, because I was always put a radio on to help me go to sleep, and then I heard the latest news of Bon Scott from AC/DC died.
Yeah,
and that was, you know, those things. It's so weird, the things that when you hear stuff like that, you remember exactly where you were, and you'll remember it to the day you die.
It is amazing, isn't it? And people don't realize the real estate that these unbelievable stars that, you know, we've all grown up on, they own right in our minds and in our hearts. I mean, I've talked to Carol about that. As a matter of fact, I was at a Skynyrd show, a month ago, and I was backstage, and I'm looking out rather than looking in, and there's 24,000 people out
there,
and they love Skynyrd. You know, it's a big deal for them to be there, and you know, I was just kind of taken back. You can just feel it. You can just feel that connection between, I mean, when Skynyrd walks out, they own that place.
Right.
And, you know, and they're still, you know, I obviously wasn't around to see the original band, but I can tell you this. I've seen, I'm just like you, I've seen plenty of the older footage, and I don't mean to sound cross any lines here, but the band today, that is a very good band.
Well, isn't, you know? Gary, I'm thinking Gary Roth, is it?
Yeah, yeah, Gary's still there.
Yeah,
he's got Ricky Medlock, you know, from Blackfoot.
Medlock,
he's the other guy.
I swear, you know, I was a big fan of Blackfoot.
Me too.
And
yeah.
When I saw him playing, I was kind of like, isn't that guy from? Now, does he do any Blackfoot songs?
No, and he should.
He's got to, man. It's like he's got the you know, Train and all some of those. It's
oh,
just
yeah,
staples.
Highway Song, man. Highway Song, yeah. No, they don't do any. They don't do any of the Johnny Van Zant songs from, you know, like Brickyard Road. That would be a great song too. But no, they don't do any of that. They do classic Skynyrd, and that's it. And I don't know if that's a contract deal or what it is, you know. But no, Ricky was he's incredibly good, man. He's clean on that guitar, and he does most of Alan Collins's parts.
Yeah.
And they've got another guitar player named Sparky. That does a lot of the Ed King stuff. And by the way, I mean, Ed King is one of the guys that's just not noticed nearly enough for his contribution to Skynyrd. That guy was amazing. You know, he wrote most of those big songs that people talk about,
The
Saturday Night Specials and Sweet Home. That was Ed, you know.
You know, when you get so many guitar players on stage, you kind of sometimes can lose the effect of, you know, you remember all the slide parts and and then with Medlock up there swinging his hair around and stuff, it's you kind of forget about the other guys. But great band, and I'd love to check out that book sometime. Is it it's out?
We're getting ready to make it for free. I put the book out. The book doesn't have any negative information in it at all. It was really, really important to me that I've got tape of hours and hours and hours of tape. I've talked to a lot of the people out of Jacksonville that grew up with these guys, and some of the stories they told, you know, I let them tell the stories, of course, but you know, I'm like, I can't print that, man.
Right.
I can't put that in there.
Definitely not.
But the book, when I started thinking about it, and I put it together. When I was a kid, I read a book, and I'm not even a huge Doors fan, but I read a book by a guy named David Sugarman, I think, called No One Gets Out of Here Alive, about Jim Morrison. I was probably a freshman in high school, maybe a sophomore, and, man, I loved the book. Like I say, I'm not a huge Doors guy, but yeah. I appreciate.
Well, that'll be cool, and I'll love to. I definitely want to try to get a copy of
yeah. that whenever. So the book will be free. We're going to make it free right on the website very soon. By the way, if anybody's interested, there is an album out right now called Shotgun Dreams and Angels. It's got the Charlie Daniel cuts on there.
Okay.
That entire album is free. All you got to do is click. I don't ask for your email. There's no loops, man. All you got to do is go get
okay,
it.
Well,
it's on Reverb Nation.
Okay. Yeah. At the end of our deal, I'll catch you where we can get all your music, and you can just
cool.
spout it all
cool.
off there.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Fast Five here real quick before we start talking about your music.
Okay.
Your music. We've been talking about your music, your current thing that I've got right now. I'm going to just say five things here, your favorites, and I just want to get them and just let folks know what you're all about.
Okay.
Or how different you are than they are. Okay. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Your favorite dessert?
Peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler. Nice. Coming up for that season, too.
Mm, oh, yeah.
Goodness. Your favorite movie?
Probably The Godfather.
Okay.
One and two. One and
cool.
two.
Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
I think that's going to be everybody's most of the time.
Yeah.
Steak or seafood?
Steak.
Steak, man. The last one, and I save this one no matter how I change up the others, this one stays consistent. Your favorite cartoon character?
Mighty Mouse.
He's here to save the day, brother. Yes.
It's the colors. You know what it is? It's the blue, yellow, and red. You know, the space that he's flying through with his red and yellow cape, and I just like the colors.
Oh, some deep meaning behind that. Okay. Hey, let's talk about your current single that I have, Coming Home. Well, first off, what makes a songwriter decide when he wants to or when he does not want to use an ending apostrophe, like coming, stomping, kicking, you know, loving, touching, squeezing?
Yeah.
What decides one or the other?
Well, for me, when I wrote that song, I was working on a project at the house called 29 Reasons. I was writing a song a week and recording a song a week, and we were going to be pitching those songs in Nashville. They weren't going to be for my album. I was simply in a writing thing. And I wrote during that time, my grandma passed away down in Kentucky.
Okay.
And we were all down there with her. She had an aneurysm. She was 87 years old, never been sick in her life. So, you know, but it was still sad and awful. And I just was there. And when I put that song together, I mean, my grandma was, like most of our grandmas, was kind of the patriarch of the family. She
right.
always gone to church and the whole bit. And, you know, she was just somebody really special in my life. So when I wrote that song, it was just one of those easy writes. But I'd also, at the time, had been reading Billy Graham's Facing Death, and I don't know, I was just trying to deal with it. I mean, you start getting to a certain age, and, you know, people that you've known your entire life, they start to pass away, and,
right.
you know, it's kind of one of those times where you're like, I need to buy a suit, you know,
uh-huh.
and it's kind of sucks, but it's just part of living. If you're going to live, you're going to die, so.
Right.
Yeah, but coming home, you know, I just that song actually means a lot more to me than almost any of the other songs that I've written.
Okay. Well, it's a good song. And
thanks.
I from the very beginning, when you start singing with it and talking about the story is, yeah, I could close my eyes and just, you know, I could see the video already.
Yeah. Well,
how
you know,
it transpires,
to me,
so.
To me, a song needs, and I'm only speaking for me, so please, I'm not putting anyone else down. But for my music, just specifically mine, a song is good in quality if it plays nicely on an acoustic guitar, even if I wrote it on a Les Paul.
Okay.
You know, it needs to, if I can take that over to an open chord structure or at least a reasonable bar chord movement, and it still rocks and it still is fun to play, then okay. Then I feel like we've got something to at least consider.
Good.
If the song just falls apart and you can't even follow the melody, or there doesn't seem to be a hook, then maybe that's not a song I should consider.
Okay. Well, let's let our listeners take a gander at the song Behind the Words. Let you introduce the tune for us.
Hi, this is Scott Connor. This is Texas46Radio.com. This is my new single, Coming Home. Take care.
In a little house outskirts of town, with the curtains pulled tight and the lights turned down, a family gathers round a big old bed. Big old bed. Hot children are crying, hearts broken like glass, cause they know that their mama ain't gonna last through the night. The night. The night. The night. When all of a sudden, like a beacon in the night, a spirit entered the room and it made everything alright. It felt comfort and delight. And with a twinkle in her eye, she said, coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. There'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, cause I'm gonna be with my God tomorrow. I'm coming home. Here I sit thinking, alone in the dark, about how death is God's will, but it always breaks our heart. Well, that ain't the way that it's supposed to be. If we give our hearts to the Lord, then death will have no sting. You know I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Yeah, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, cause I'm gonna be with my God tomorrow. I'm coming home. Graveyards all sad and lonely, a cold wind blows through the garden of stone. Hopes and dreams in the rearview mirror, but fear not, cause you're not alone. But fear not, because you're not alone. I'm coming home.
Look around and heartbeat stops. I'm fast by the
road. I'm coming home.
There's a place on the other side of the lane.
There'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, cause I'm gonna be with my God tomorrow. I'm coming home. Sorrow, cause I'm gonna be with my God tomorrow. I'm coming home.
Little thing's gonna be alright.
There'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, cause I'm gonna be with my God tomorrow. I'm coming home.
All right, my friends, that was Scott Connor with his song Coming Home here on Texas46Radio.com. And I happen to have that gentleman on the phone enjoying a great beautimous day out where he is at in Indiana, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, any big shows coming up?
We are booking right now for 2018. I'm not going to be doing any more shows this year. We're going to be shooting videos in November, and then I've got quite a bit of studio time already booked. And I think we're going to be starting to look at some shows around late February of next year.
Okay, cool. And you want to give a shout-out to anybody listening this morning?
Hey, just hey, Texas. Thank you guys for listening to my music, and come and check me out at scottconnor.com.
About any family you want to say hi to? Because like, oh, I'm listening, and I know him.
Well, my mom and dad are somewhere in Texas today. They left home, and I have no idea where they're at, but they're in Texas today in their big old RV driving around.
Very good. So let everybody know where, everywhere, if they can find your music, where it's all available.
It's everywhere. It's a Spotify, Scott Connor Music. Reverb Nation, CD Baby, iTunes, it's everywhere. So, but please go to Reverb Nation and get that free album, Shotgun Dreams and Album, and I'm sorry, Shotgun Dreams and Angels. And it's a full album. You can have it for free. I'm not asking for anything, no emails or anything. All you got to do is click and it's yours.
And so they're looking it up. It's Scott Connor. It's C-O-N-E-R.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
C-O-N-E-R.
That's good. Very good. So, hey, we've been listening to Conversations with Bruce Allen and the ever-popular Scott Connor. Man, I appreciate you calling in, my friend.
Thank you. You guys have a great day down there in Texas.
You too, and we'll talk to you again soon. Hey, have Will send me some of the that Tanya Tucker song with you guys.
I will. I'll call him here in just a minute, man.
Sounds great. Sure. You have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And just in case you missed it or caught it halfway in between, you can catch the rebroadcast here on Texas46Radio.com at 5 o'clock today, Central Standard Time. Set your recorders up and be ready for a good little interview. Let's get back to some more music right here, right now.